Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start of the week. It is currently week 3 of the semester already, which I can't believe. It is absolutely sunny today, so I hope you guys have a chance to go outside and enjoy the weather. Although it is quite cold, but you know, it's always great to have some sun outside. For today's episode, I will be doing a solo rom-com review. The rom-com that I chose today is called The Big Sick. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this rom-com. I love it. I've seen it, I think, maybe 4 or 5 times. And I think I first saw this movie probably about a year and a half ago. Maybe longer than that. But it's a great movie. I wanted to share this with you guys today. I also have some songs that I've prepared from the band called Rain on Fridays, so we'll get through those as well, and obviously end off with some fun facts. I also want to say the semester has officially begun, which means that we are going to be doing some trainings here at CITR. This year, I will be responsible for doing the technical training, which is the training that is required for you to start your own radio show. We'll actually be doing the trainings inside the studio, so I'll be teaching you how to use the board, also give you guys a chance to go on air and just experience what it's like. So it's going to be a very exciting time. If you guys are interested at all in radio production, please come on down to the station. We are doing tours every weekday at noon, and the training schedules will be coming out soon as well, so stay tuned for that. Also, our next big event is going to be coming up around February, I believe, which is the Fun Drive event. It is our annual fundraising event that we do here at CITR and Discorder Magazine, so stay tuned for that. We will be doing some great and fun events as well. We're still in the process of getting those in line, but it's going to be great. Also, it seems like there's a lot going on in the Nest as well. I don't know if right now is the period for Club Day, but it seems that a lot of clubs have opened up their booths as well. So check it out. Come on to the Nest. Everything's laid out today. So if you are not doing anything or am free, please pop by. All right, before we get started, let's get through some ads, some PSAs, and some show promos, and we will get right to the episode. So I'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam,
Nisiaya, and the Skakulia, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustail. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I love CITR.0.1.9 FM.
I love CITR.0.1.9 FM.
What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing if you're not listening to Planet Innit Flows Osten on CITYR101.99 FM every other Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Pacific?
We stand for peace, we stand for justice for the people of Palestine, and for the upholding of international law.
On November 30th, join Irish for Palestine, BC, for a night of crack agus ciol, including trivia, music, dancing, and fundraising for an important cause. All funds raised will be donated to Medical Aid for Palestinians, a long-standing charitable organization responding to the humanitarian emergency in Gaza and Lebanon by providing on-the-ground medical supplies and complex care to children and families impacted by violence. Tickets are $15, and the event will be held in the function room of Foy's Irish Bar. To find out more, visit at Irish for Palestine BC on Instagram. That's at Irish for Palestine BC with a numerical 4. Saoirse don Phalastine.
All
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be swimming, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. Keeping me on the tip of my tongue. Lebanon is facing a deep humanitarian crisis with nearly 1.2 million people displaced. In response, Lebanese diaspora and friends have organized a silent auction to raise funds for mutual aid initiatives on the ground, providing essential aid like food, sanitary products, and emergency shelter. You can bid via app.galabid.com/VAN2, as in the number, LEBANON. The auction will close at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time on Friday, October 11th. Or if you're interested in donating funds, you can reach out today via email at Vancouver2, as in the number, Lebanon@gmail.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start of the week. It is very, very sunny outside, so like I said, please go outside if you have the chance and enjoy the sun. We've been having a lot of sun lately, and I think it's great. You know, I think during the winter time, we had a lot of rain. It was pretty wet, but it seems like the sun is showing for a couple days now. So I guess enjoy it while you can. For today's episode, I am going to be doing a movie review. I chose to do the rom-com called The Big Sick. It will be a great ride for this episode because I think this movie is really, really funny. It does an amazing job with the comedy, and I think there is, especially I'm going to be talking about a specific scene where it does show a great sense of authenticity of what it's like to be in a relationship and, you know, those embarrassing moments and you know, how there are certain expectations that you hold to yourself and maybe to your partner, you know, and, you know, sometimes that creates some sort of entanglement within you guys. But yeah, we'll go right into the movie. So The Big Sick, it is a romantic comedy, obviously. It does a great job with romance and the comedy, but there's also a bit of a blend of drama into it, as one of the climactic moments is when the girl protagonist, the female protagonist, actually gets medically ill. And quite severely ill, where to the point where she's in a coma, I believe. So this romantic comedy drama based on the real life relationship of the two characters played by Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon. So the plot summary is that Kumail is a struggling stand-up comedian, and he's also a part-time Uber driver in Chicago. And during one of his comedy shows, he ends up meeting Emily, who is a graduate student, and they kind of get into this relationship because, well, first off, Emily ends up heckling in Kumail's show. And so, you know, she immediately grabs Kumail's attention, and then their kind of relationship begins from there. They begin a very casual relationship that eventually turns into a serious relationship. So there's a bit of an interesting dynamic with them just casually dating, per se. Their relationship isn't seen as something that has high stakes or seen in a very deep manner. The movie does a very interesting thing where their romantic relationship isn't solely dealt within themselves. So it's not just between, Kumail and Emily, but there's a lot of complications that arise from their families as well. Specifically from Kumail's family, as he is from a very traditional family who has, cultural beliefs that they follow, and that is a very big obstacle for Kumail to get over because it's not something that he can just brush off. It's a very, very strict, rule that he needs to follow within his family. It's, in a way, it's very, very difficult to watch because it really, really affects Kumail a lot, for the sake that he loves Emily, but at the same time he also needs to consider his family as well, because he quite literally can lose his family if he were to disobey the cultural expectations or rules that are set out for him and his family. And so it's a very, very difficult, complicated relationship that he has to go through simultaneously with his girlfriend and with his family. So Kumail struggles with his family's expectations, specifically of having an arranged marriage. So, that immediately puts this into a very, very deep hole of just misery for Kumail, because he is against it. He doesn't want it. He feels that he wants to marry the person that he wants. There's also a specific scene where Kumail needs to pray, and he gets down to the basement and he ends up just putting, I think it's like a piece of cloth onto the ground to pray in. But he ends up just looking at his phone, just fidgeting with himself, looks, through the basement, drawers, and he doesn't follow it at all. And so there's this clear rejection that he has with his culture. It's not that he hates it. He just doesn't seem to understand certain concepts, I guess, to the point where his family does. And Kumail actually has a brother who is actually the opposite of Kumail. He's actually married to a woman. I believe it was through an arranged marriage. He doesn't really understand why Kumail is acting this way. The family almost sees it as a sense of betrayal, which is a strong word to put, especially for Kumail, because although he isn't fully accepting of his cultural beliefs and the practices that he needs to go through, he has a deep love for his family, and that is literally the reason why he's having so much trouble with his relationship with Emily throughout the film. But like I said, one of the climactic moments is when Emily goes to the hospital. She is very ill. It seems like she caught some sort of virus, and that leads her to be in a coma for a long time. During that time, well, right before she was in a coma, Kumail and Emily were not in the greatest terms. What happened was Emily found out that Kumail was hiding the fact that his parents wanted him to go through an arranged marriage. Emily was not aware of that. Kumail was kind of keeping this whole thing between his family and Emily a secret, and so it seems like Emily just didn't feel like she was included fully into his life. A lot of altercations come up through that, and then Emily gets sick. Diving a little deeper on how Emily found out is that
So it's actually, I think this is kind of where I found the comedy bit, is where Kumail's mother, every time that she introduces Kumail to a new partner, which she chooses, they're at a dinner table and the doorbell rings. And the mother's like, who might that be? As if she doesn't know who's in front of the door. So I think in that way, I just found it a very cute thing where she's trying to make things mysterious and spontaneous in a way where in fact that it's completely not. It's literally arranged. It was planned. And she's completely aware of who's behind that door. And Kumail obviously knows this, but because, you know, he has a great love for his family, he goes along with it, you know, and he actually receives these photos of these partners that his mother picks out for him, and he puts them in sort of like this box, I think, in his room. And Emily finds out about all those photos and those potential candidates, I guess, for his partner, for Kumail's partner. And feeling betrayed, Emily feels quite betrayed in the fact that she realized Kumail has not been honest about his feelings or his family expectations. She does kind of end the relationship with Kumail. But then shortly after, Emily falls seriously ill and is hospitalized. And then, you know, obviously Kumail, because this was kind of a fresh breakup, and it wasn't for the fact that they had some sort of argument in the way that somebody was at fault. Kumail is arguably the one that was in fault, but it wasn't something that he intentionally tried to do to sabotage the relationship with Emily. It was more so for the intention that he wanted to protect Emily while, you know, saving his relationship with his family. Because he was too well aware that if he were to be honest with Emily or if he were to be honest with his family, neither or would have went well, because I don't think any side would have understood exactly what Kumail was going through. And so this leads to Kumail being called into the hospital after Emily gets hospitalized and meets Emily's parents, Terry and Beth, who are initially very hostile towards him because of their previous breakup, very evident with Beth especially. Emily is very, very close with her parents, and they are well aware of who Kumail is. There is a scene where Kumail, I think, tries to introduce himself, and Terry and Beth already know who he is. So this kind of goes down to the idea of family dynamics. So we get to see a new type of family within the film. So first we saw Kumail's family following a very, very traditionally cultural rule and set of expectations. And then we move on to Emily's family, where, you know, they're very accepting and they don't seem to have like a fixed idea of what their child needs to do. They're quite free in that sense. So during Emily's illness, Kumail grows very close with her parents. And like I said, Beth, who is played by Holly Hunter, is very angry and protective because of these stories that were told by Emily, you know, about their relationship. And then Terry, who's played by Ray Romano, is more understanding, and we kind of get to see this later on in the movie as well. So simultaneously, Kumail's own parents disown him when he reveals his relationship with Emily and his lack of interest in their arranged marriage plans. And then he goes on to see that his, I want to say current girlfriend, because I feel like that breakup was done in kind of like the heat of the moment. You know, there's a lot of misunderstandings going on. It seems like Emily was very furious for the fact that she was in love with him, but, you know, he lied in a way, and then Kumail is just struggling with this dilemma of whether to keep his love or love for his partner or love for his family, because it seems like he wants to keep both of them and save both of them, but it's just not working out the way that it should, or at least the way that he wanted it to. So Then we go on to the theme of recovery and reconciliation. Emily thankfully recovers, and through her illness, through the time that she was in a coma, Kumail was actually helping out a lot. So he was going through all those appointments. He was, in a way, supporting the parents through the process. There was a time, I love the scene. There's a scene where Kumail's eating lunch with Beth and Terry. And Terry makes like an inappropriate, or asks an inappropriate question about Kumail's culture. And Kumail actually takes it in a very, very great way. I mean, considering that he is a comedian, he actually ends up making a joke about it. And there is this very awkward tension between them. And I think through those awkward and embarrassing moments, they end up growing very, very close with each other. They end up understanding each other in a more affectionate way. And Beth ends up growing out of that hatred that she had initially towards Kumail and really understands where he was coming from. But keep in mind, when Emily wakes up, she isn't aware of the changes of what Kumail went through during the time that she was ill. So as audience members, we're actually seeing this whole film in Kumail's, or in the perspective where we're looking through the character of Kumail and his development throughout the film, and we're not really looking at it in the perspective of Emily. And when Emily wakes up, she is not fond of the fact that Kumail is there. She doesn't quite understand why he's there. She's almost rejecting his presence. And I do think that there was a scene where Emily specifically told Kumail to leave and have her parents come back in. And so when you see that as an audience member, obviously we have this preconception of Kumail being this amazing boyfriend. He was there for her. She was ill, and he came over and gave her parents some emotional support while, you know, going through the tough things that he had to go through with his family, the development that he went through throughout this process. And then all of a sudden, you know, as audience members, we're also hit with the perspective of Emily. And so it kind of wakes you up to these two perspectives that we weren't getting simultaneously. So when Emily does wake up, she's, as I said, she's very bitter, but she gradually comes to appreciate Kumail's efforts during her illness. Way later on, Kumail, accepting the fact that he's missed the opportunity with Emily and to save his relationship with her, he ends up moving to New York to pursue his comedy career further. And a great thing about this movie is it comes with a great ending where Emily shows up at his comedy club. Once again, very interesting, because the ending of the movie is the same way that started the relationship between Emily and Kumail. So I think that was a very, very interesting aspect to the movie, where it ended the way it started, and they're both kind of the same concept or the same intention, where they met at a comedy club and that blossomed into a relationship. That's the first part of the relationship in the first intro. And then when it ends off, it's kind of an ambiguous, not so ambiguous, because we can kind of tell from the way that they're bantering. Emily kind of heckles at a show again, and they kind of begin another step or another phase of relationship, but this time with truth and in much more understanding within each other. So it's a very great movie. I think it's a good movie to watch in terms of, you know, what it's like to be in a relationship while having to deal with, you know, family issues in terms of like cultural differences. Because, you know, personally, I do feel like there are definitely some obstacles that are present within not even just romantic partners, but even with friendship sometimes, where your cultural upbringing can serve as a factor of confusion when you're conversing with your friends, or maybe it's, you know, something about your behavior sometimes. I think a lot of cultures have different ways of, for example, showing respect. And sometimes it can be a little confusing and awkward in a sense and very unfamiliar. And sometimes it throws you off guard. And I think it's very important that in those times, it's much more important to be truthful and to be open, to really truly grasp what the true intentions are behind those actions. And so I think this movie does a great job in emphasizing the themes of being authentic, being truthful, and the overall redemption through adversity. So yeah, that was the movie that I wanted to show and tell you guys. It's called The Big Sick. It came out in 2017. It's a nice movie, a lot of comedy, and there's a lot of heartwarming moments as well. When I talked about initially, when I started the show, about the authentic nature of relationships, I think one of my favorite scenes is when Emily and Kumail are sleeping in bed together in the middle of the night. Emily suddenly wakes up, and I think she said she needed to go somewhere, whether it's like the nearest convenience store. Kumail obviously does not understand what is going on, and he starts asking her questions and questions. Emily is getting more and more impatient. Ultimately, she reveals that she doesn't need to go to the convenience store. She just needs to go take a number two in the washroom. Kumail's house, which they were in, didn't have any air fresheners or candles or nothing to kind of mask the odor of the number two that she needed to do. And so there's like this whole scene of just complete tension, but it's also... it actually isn't too serious because of the fact that it's so truthful and so authentic that it breaks that tension and covers it up with comedy. So there's a very great balance with comedy, tension, drama, and romance because, at the end of the day, she has a lot of love for Kumail, and the fact that she just didn't want to do that, there's a sense of embarrassment. There's a sense that she holds a certain... expectation for herself, wanting to be a certain way in front of Kumail, and I think there's a real sense of authenticity within that scene that I really enjoyed. So for those of you who are curious, please go watch the film. Once again, it's called The Big Sick. It is a film from 2017, and yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the movie. If you guys ever want to go deeper into the dynamics of the movie or certain scenes, I'm more than welcome to discuss it with you guys. If you guys want to do it live on my show, tune in to 604-822-2487. If you call that number, it'll come directly to the station and you will have a chance to be on air with me. All right, so that's it for today's rom-com review. I hope you guys enjoyed that. For the next couple minutes, I'm actually going to be turning on some songs that I've prepared for you all. This is from the band called Rain on Fridays, specifically from the album called Mono Monday. The first thing I have for you guys is called a song called Super Glue Your Shoes. I love that title. I don't know why that's the title. I think if I take more of an analytical approach to this, I don't know how a shoe would be any useful if you put super glue on it. I'm assuming that if you do put super glue on it, it'll be on the bottom of your shoes. Or it could be on any part of the shoe that needs repairing, which would make more sense. But that is the first song for you guys today, Super Glue Your Shoes. I hope you guys enjoy it. So here we go.
Like little bluebirds, I feel like
That was Rain on Fridays called Super Glue Your Shoes. The next song I have for you guys is called She's a Snake. I hope you guys enjoy.
Oh my god, she's such a fucking snake! She has a snake song.
That was She's a Snake by Rain on Fridays. The last song I have for you guys is called Baby's Guitar. I hope you guys enjoy.
The blood has stained on the collar of your t-shirt. I made a bracelet out of your using your head as a hammer to put the nail back in. Now there's a big hole in your brain. And when it dripped down the back of your
That was Baby's Guitar by Rain on Fridays. For the last couple minutes I have with you guys, I'm actually going to be going through some fun facts. And since I did talk about the scene of, you know, Emily wanting to do a number two, I wanted to do some fun facts about toilets. Because why not? It's something that we all use, hopefully use. And sometimes these facts about mundane stuff is always interesting to learn about. All right, so this is from the website serviceoneac.com, I believe. So apparently toilets have been around for nearly 2,000 years. That is an insane amount of time. I do remember that there are washrooms where the toilet, I don't even know if that's still considered a toilet, but the toilet is basically a big pivot in the ground. I don't know exactly how that works, but definitely the toilets back then did not look like the ones that we have today. And I guess you would have to go more than 2,000 years behind. But yeah, toilets have been around for nearly 2,000 years. The next one is, Hanging clothes near the toilet was thought to keep fleas off of them. I wonder why. Maybe it's because toilets have some sort of odor that are just not appealing to fleas. I don't know. I honestly don't know what fleas are attracted to, but apparently if you hang clothes near the toilet, fleas would be out of them. Once again, the next one is, toilets were not always private. This is a very interesting one. I don't know how it would have worked because, you know, doing your business inside a washroom is quite private, or at least I thought it was, but apparently it wasn't always private, especially number twos, I'm assuming, because usually toilets are used in both instances, but I'd say, you know, at least in men's washrooms, we have urinals to do number ones. It's quite interesting how it wouldn't have been, there would have been a time where it wouldn't have been a private practice. All right, the next one is, your flushing toilet was designed by a poet. I wonder how this connects to anything. I wonder how a poet would have designed a flushing toilet. Maybe it's like imagining what a toilet would look like and how through those imaginations a toilet is being constantly being reshaped to its appropriate convenience. I guess that's how, because I do know, you know, I've met some poets and they're very, very creative people. And I guess that sort of has a correlation with the design of what a toilet looks like. The next one is, your toilet doesn't smell because of its S valve. I thought my toilet doesn't smell because of the fact that you flush your feces down the toilet. If you were to leave it there, I don't even want to imagine what that would smell like. But apparently there is this thing called an S valve. If I read the description, it says, a Scottish watchmaker named Alexander Cummings hated how the sewer gas smell would rise up into the toilet bowl from the straight pipes, so he created the S-valve in 1775. So the S-valve keeps the smell contained below, but it does sometimes have a tendency to clog from solid materials that get stuck in the dip of the S. Oh, I see. I guess it's the S-valve is kind of the pipe that we see when we look under the toilet. That's kind of what it's implying. There's a lot of science that goes behind this because I didn't know that, you know, if you were to flush something, the odor would climb back up, considering that, you know, when you flush it, it's going down a very, very long path somewhere that you don't even know where it's going. I do have to admit, I'm very curious of where these things flush into and how those pipes are all connected and, you know, what sort of pressure is needed to push all of those into the appropriate location that it arrives to. So it is pretty interesting. The next one and the last one for today is that your toilet goes by many names. Interesting. So apparently the name toilet, there's the John, the pot, the head, the water closet, and the porcelain bus. I don't even know if these are actual names that are used. It says in the description. But the loo is the shortened term for the French phrase that means watch out for the water. So apparently there's a lot of names that are used to describe a toilet. I mean, I for sure sometimes do see different countries having different names for certain objects, or maybe in this case a toilet. And I'm always very curious about that. And I think that's one of the reasons why I find it so fascinating to talk with people from different cultures and, you know, different geographical locations, because everywhere there is some sort of difference that is within the language that we speak, even within the language of English, for example, you know? And I think that's just the most interesting thing ever. I mean, one thing that I'm always curious about is why we have different accents in the same language, because there's a lot of different accents within the language of English. You know, even if you go to New York and you compare the accent to people in Canada, let's say specifically in Vancouver, there is a different kind of tone and speed, and kind of the pitches differ. And I think that's the most fascinating thing ever. And I always wonder why. What is it? You know, I guess there's some sort of historical reference to this and some sort of historical influence to these different ways that we speak within the same language. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many interesting things about, you know, the way we speak, how we speak, the words we use. And I'm actually taking a metaphors class, and it's so, so interesting to realize how much of our speech is just done and spoken without us realizing what it is that we're using. You know, there's a lot of metaphors that we use, and I'm sure that we all do use it, that we are just not aware of the fact that they are metaphors. And so I think through that realization, you tend to, you know, be more attentive with the words that you use when you speak. And I think that's just really cool, because there's so many things that we just do on a daily basis that we don't pay attention to. And once we do pay attention to them, there's no end to it. And so obviously there should be a balance towards that as well. But that is it for today's episode, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. The sun is still up. It seems like the sun is going to be out for a while. So if you haven't had the chance yet, maybe go outside, get some fresh air, and then go back to studying or working. The Nest is still very packed. It seems like they're still doing some club events as well. So if you are interested in it, please come inside the Nest and see what we have here. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you haven't had the chance, maybe try and look at the movie that I introduced for you guys today. It's called The Big Sick. That's it for today's episode. I will see you all next week. Have a wonderful rest of the day, everybody. And please also be safe as well. It seems like there's a lot of colds going around, but be safe, be healthy, and I'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.